Chapter 2. In Loguetown, Zorro meets a marine woman that looks an awful lot like Quina. She makes a great deal of fuss about Zorro's swords and is all around a pain in the ass. It's satisfying to clash blades with someone that makes her feel so conflicted. Zorro hasn't had memories like that come up in a while. "Hey, ladies shouldn't fight," Sanji calls over the howling of the wind and the deafening roar of rainfall. Zoro can see Luffy tug on the cook's sleeve from the corner of his eye. "Stay out of this, please," the marine woman calls back, saving Zoro half the trouble. "This is between Roronoa and I." "You heard her," Zoro responds. "Go on ahead." She doesn't turn to Luffy or Sanji. She can trust her captain, of all people, to let her fight this on her own. The fight is short, breathtakingly so. This woman, Tashigi, is strong, but not strong enough. Lightning cracks through the sky, casting Tashigi's face in shadows. She's afraid. Good. Behind them, the streets are flooded with torrents of rain and seawater alike. The current rising on the pavement swipes at Zoro's pant legs. "I can't lose this sword no matter what," she tells her. Fierce. Swiftly, she sheathes her blades. It was almost useless to send Luffy and Sanji ahead. This hardly took any time at all. "Bye," Zoro says. "I gotta go." It was nice, she thinks, to duel with someone with the respect for the art, if nothing else. She can't really help the sorts of conflicting emotions this woman sparks in her. She's wearing a dead girl's face, after all. "Why didn't you kill me?" Tashigi screams at her back. "It's humiliating to have someone go easy on you in a duel," she spits, words like talons. "Is it because we're both women? Do you think you owe me something because of that?" Zoro can feel her shoulders start to shake. "I didn't pick up this sword to play around," Tashigi howls, voice reaching a fever pitch and breaking like glass over the words. It shatters Zoro's composure. "I can't stand the fact that you exist," she shouts, mouth pulled into a horrible snarl. "That face you wear, it's exactly like my friend who died a long time ago. To hear you spout that bullshit out of her mouth?" Zoro stalks forward, pushing into her space. She doesn't back down. "It's a fucking disgrace." Tashigi splutters, turning red in anger. "What a childish thing to say," she hisses, drawing up to her full height like an angry cat. "I'm not your friend, and I don't owe you anything." "No, you aren't her," Zoro growls, "because she would never blame a defeat on her sex. I didn't kill you because I don't need to. You're outclassed." Thunder claps again, furious and booming. It sounds how Zoro feels on the inside. Gaping and angry and unfathomable. She escapes to the ship just in time. Sanji is straight up avoiding her, which, okay, whatever. He's an idiot. This isn't news. With a princess now on board, it's like he's dialed up his swooning and coddling to full blast. He's dizzy with stars in his eyes almost 90% of the time. But annoyingly, he avoids Zoro completely, like he doesn't know what to do with her now. "Why do you let him treat you like that?" Zoro asks between reps. Nami and Vivi are not far away, reclined in the lounge chairs and sipping iced tea drinks under the afternoon sun. It's Vivi's first day aboard the Mary, and aside from a few careful winces and nervous laughs, she seems to take all of Sanji's fussing in stride. Zoro just doesn't get it. Vivi blinks her owlish blue eyes up at Zoro. God, she's fucking cute. Zoro turns away, refusing to blush. She completes another set of bicep curls, counting off while she waits for Vivi's thoughtful reply. Well, it's almost nice to be fussed over. She swirls her straw through her drink, ice cubes clinking gently against the sides. Zoro rolls her eyes. Is it? Really, Vivi-chan? But you're a princess. To be honest, I thought you might want a break from all of that, too. Nami says, thoughtful. Zoro notices how Nami very carefully avoids looking Vivi straight in the eyes. Her gaze is fixed somewhere around the expanse of Vivi's sun-darkened collarbones, like she can't tear her eyes away from the princess's skin. Vivi sighs. I haven't been home in a long time now, she smiles briefly. I guess all the fussing makes me nostalgic. Besides, it's all well-meaning. Zoro and Nami grimace in tandem. Well, Nami starts. Oh? Zoro and Sanji have a history. At Zoro's abrupt glare, Nami rephrases. Of conflict. Sanji-kun doesn't think Zoro should be fighting. They've gotten in quite a few arguments about it. Really? But Ms. Bushido-san is so strong, Vivi exclaims. Sanji has his misgivings about this kind of thing, Nami says, gesturing vaguely in the air. He's an ass, Zoro growls. Vivi hums thoughtfully. Well, if he doesn't think you should be fighting, why don't you show him? Nami quirks an eyebrow. Vivi sits upright, gesturing animatedly as she speaks. If you challenge Sanji-san to a fight, he has to confront your strength. Then I'm sure he'll come to his senses. Zoro rolls her eyes and, with a sigh, sets down her weights. Yeah, but there's only one problem. What is it? Sanji doesn't hit women, Nami explains. Vivi narrows her eyes thoughtfully. What if you didn't give him a choice? That night, the three women retire to their cabin, only to come up against a slight roadblock. There are only two beds. Vivi is all frantic headshakes and blushes. No, it's fine. I don't want to put either of you out. But Zoro is already gathering her shit up. She pushes her swords up against the wall and throws a couple of dirty shirts on the ground, where she then kicks them under the bed. With a shrug, she says, It's fine. Take it. Ms. Bushido-san, really, I couldn't, Nami stammers. Vivi-chan, let her give you her bed. She snores. Nami sighs dramatically. Zoro rolls her eyes. Their relationship has much improved since the battle at Arlong Park. Zoro admits that she had the other woman totally wrong from the beginning. Nami isn't anything like those good girls that settle down for a quiet marriage and pop out three babies by the time they're 30. Nami is a wild, untamed thing with dreams of her own. They're different from Zoro's dreams and different from Kuina's too, but dreams all the same. And she'd rather accomplish her dreams in heels. Which, Zoro can respect. Nami had her tri-a-pair on and she could barely stand in the things for 5 minutes, let alone wear them while running from all sorts of scorned marks. Her teasing is good-natured, but she still gets on Zoro's nerves sometimes with all her, use conditioner, this, and wear perfume, that. The men's bunk will suit me fine. Zoro shrugs, starting up the stairs. Believe her, Vivi-chan. Zoro and Luffy slept at the bottom of a dinghy when I first met him. Their voices fade away as Zoro closes the door and emerges on deck. From the look of it, it appears that Usopp is on watch tonight. Zoro shuffles down to the men's cabin in the dark. Luffy makes a bleary sound as the ladder creaks on her descent.
Usopp,
he slurs, peering into the dark. Shh, Zoro says, settling a hand on his head briefly. Go back to sleep.
Okay,
Luffy mumbles before rolling back over in his hammock and dropping off again. There are three hammocks, and one is empty since Usopp is on watch. His hangs above Luffy's, and it's no small feat to hoist herself up into it without disturbing Luffy again. Surely the sniper won't mind. It's just one night. Zoro peels her bra off under her shirt, pulling it through a sleeve and throwing it somewhere in the dark. Pajamas are overrated. She doesn't see the point in owning more than one or two shirts. Even the shirt she wore in Kokoyashi was offered to her by a concerned villager that saw her wandering around covered only in thick bandaging from the waist up. She sleeps in what she's got, minus her grubby old sports bra. She'd rather do a whole day of training in Nami's heels than sleep in her bra again. She drops off to sleep in no time. Hey, idiot, who's on watch? Zoro wakes up to someone shaking, no, rocking her bed. She struggles to sit upright and grunts out a very intelligent, what the, oh my god, I must be dreaming, so cute, so cute! Zoro's eyes snap open as something warm splatters her face and a loud thud echoes through the cabin. What the hell, shit cook? She shouts, rubbing at her cheeks, only to find that Sanji projectile nose bled all over her face. The bastard in question is lying comatose and twitching on the floor in a puddle of his own blood. His face is screwed up into a dopey, lovey-dovey grin. Zoro hops down from the hammock, grabs a random shirt to wipe at her face. Hey, Zoro, what's this? Luffy asks, holding up her bra from where he's found it on the floor. Sanji, only just having sat back up, makes a sound like a dying whale and promptly faceplants again. Mine, Zoro grumbles, swiping it out of her captain's hands. Usopp comes bumbling down the ladder with a concerned, guys? He double takes. Zoro? She rubs at the back of her neck, feeling exhausted already. I used your hammock last night so that Vivi could use my bed, she explains. She can hear Sanji begin to mumble. Oh my god, I slept with a lady! Over and over again as he fans himself. Oh, that's all right. Usopp waves her off. I slept with a lady! Sanji screeches, leaping up with renewed vigor to do a victorious dance. Zoro is surrounded by idiots. Nami gets sick. It's bad. It is clearer now, more than ever, that the crew needs a doctor. After Drum Island, the crew gains a new member, and thus a new pain in Zoro's ass. Zoro-chan! Chopper swats her over the head in Heavy Point. It's a miracle that you're alive! Ow, yeah, I get it, Zoro mumbles, shuffling awkwardly on her feet. As his first act as the ship's doctor, Chopper had wanted to conduct thorough physical examinations of all the Straw Hats. With a truly terrifying gleam in her eyes, Nami had volunteered Zoro to go first. The woman is truly a sadist. Now, sitting shirtless on the exam table with Chopper openly gaping at her scar from Mihawk, Zoro is wishing she'd put up more of a fight about it. Gently, Chopper prods at the ugly, gnarled scar. It had been irritated by the cold on Drum, and it probably didn't help that Zoro had been in that blizzard without a shirt or jacket, or much of anything, honestly. And the little doctor doesn't look too pleased with the way it's healing, if his expression is any indication. Zoro-chan, would you be comfortable removing your top? Chopper asks, referring to her bra. It obscures a significant portion of the wound, and I need to do a full examination. Zoro isn't shy about nudity, but she is shy about medical care. She's never liked being poked or prodded. Wordlessly, she nods and strips entirely from the waist up. The scar runs from her left shoulder over the top of her left breast, through her chest, and ends down at her right hip. The fresh scar tissue is shiny and puckered, irritated by the stitches that she's probably left in for too long. Chopper turns his big, watery eyes to Zoro. Between this and the wounds on your ankles, you're almost the worst off out of this whole ship, he squeaks. It's fine, Zorro assures him. She scratches nervously at her head. I don't really feel it. That's not the point, you idiot! Chopper cries. He starts gathering supplies that Zorro doesn't know the name of. She grips the cot hard between her palms as Chopper starts in with the disinfectant. I have to remove these old stitches and clean the wound. We might have to restitch some of it, he explains, dabbing gently at the top of the scar with cotton. Oi, Chopper! Sanji takes this exact moment to barge into the room. You said you had some of those painkillers for my back? There's a horrible moment of silence, where Sanji and Zoro sit frozen, staring at each other from across the room. Sanji blinks at her. He looks down. His eyes snap back up to hers and go dinner plate wide before dropping back down again. He turns scarlet red from the neck up. All at once, Zoro's faculties return to her. Get out! She yells, grabbing a silver tray and hurling it at the shitty pervert cook's head. Sanji barely manages to dodge in time. Sanji-kun! Chopper squeals, rushing Sanji out of the room. I'm with a patient! I'm sorry! Sanji cries, dashing from the room like his ass is on fire. He leaves a trail of blood in his wake. Chopper closes the door and leans against it, blocking it with his body. Zoro stares at him in stunned silence. Melorine, Melorine, ah, my beautiful rugged rose! Sanji sighs distantly. Zoro screams, You don't sound sorry! Fucking idiot. In Alabasta, Zoro learns to cut steel. Once the dust has settled and the battle is over, the Straw Hats retire to the royal palace to recover and celebrate. The people are great and the music and food is wonderful, and Zoro is elated by her newly acquired skill. It's a time like no other to celebrate. So she gets drunk. At one point in the night, Nami, quite possibly also drunk, throws an arm around Zoro's shoulders and ruffles her hair. It's getting pretty long, Zoro, she sings songs. So what? Zoro rebukes. I've been busy. Nami throws her head back and cackles. Yeah, busy being badass, she cheers, sloshing fancy wine everywhere. Zoro grins like a shark and pours Nami a shot. I'll drink to that, she cries, and they both cheer. They get more of the liquor in their laps than in their mouths. Later, finds Zoro still pleasantly buzzed, using a sharp shaving razor to tend to her hair. She's almost finished when the door to the bathroom swings open and Sanji steps inside. He blinks at her. Oh, Zoro-chan. He blinks again, looking confused. This is the men's room. Huh, Zoro responds. Must have gotten lost. The cook must be pleasantly drunk, too, going by the flush on his face and the sway in his step. He leans against the counter next to her, his hip jutting out like Nami's does when she's trying to swindle a sap out of his money. The cook looks at her from under his ridiculous blonde hair. His swirly eyebrow is dizzying to Zoro when she's this drunk. Hello, pretty thing, Sanji murmurs, smiling. His eyes are heavy with wine or whatever the hell it is he likes to drink. Funny seeing you here, he says, before laughing at his own line. I'm not a pretty thing, Zoro tells him, scratching at her freshly shaved neck. Uneven strands of green hair just long enough to brush the tips of her eyebrows flop wet and graceless into her face as she turns to scowl at him. And even if I were a pretty thing, she adds, I wouldn't be yours. I wouldn't be anyone's cook. He stares at her thoughtfully. You're right. Well, about that, at least. You are pretty, though, he says carefully. Zoro furrows her brow. Uh-huh, she says. You're just drunk. Sanji shakes his head vigorously. No, no. Shaking his head seems to make him dizzy, and he places both of his hands on her shoulders to steady himself. "You are pretty," he tells her with the emphasis of a man that is very, very wasted. Before she can interject, he continues, "You're so pretty, and I didn't even know how much it's bothered you, how much I bothered you. You're pretty and strong, and you don't apologize for any of it." Helpless, Zorro laughs at him. "No, it's true, Zorro." He draws her name out, like he's tasting every syllable. "I'm sorry," he says, finally. "Oh," she replies, removing his hands. Warm, graceful hands with surprisingly slender and well-built fingers, and God, how are they soft? From her shoulders. "Well, okay, tell me again when you're sober." He nods very seriously. "Yes, when I'm sober." He finds her a few days after they sail away from Alabasta, all of their hearts heavy with the loss of Vivi, and some of them more suspicious than others of their newest shipmate, Nico Robin. Zoro is training out in the sun when Sanji walks right up to her and sets down a green iced drink with a little slice of orange on top. She sets her weights down and picks it up. The glass is sweaty and cool on her skin. Thoughtlessly, she rolls the glass cup against her sweaty neck before taking a gulp. "It's good," she says, after a pause. Sanji is frozen, watching her sip from the cup with a faint pink flush on his lips. "Snap out of it," she grumbles, kicking him lightly in the ankle. He does. Sanji shakes his head as if to clear something from it. He takes a deep exhale, blowing a plume of smoke out over their heads. When ash falls from the end of his cigarette, it falls between them. "I'm sorry, Zoro-chan," he says. Zoro promptly chokes on an ice cube. She thought he'd forgotten that night in the bathroom. But, well, apparently not. He stops, starts again. "I was treating you differently because you're a woman, but you're Nakama first, and I realized that I was acting as a roadblock for your dream." He bows, formally. Zoro's never seen anybody do that. Not for the first time. She wonders about Sanji's background and how he knows all this fancy noble people etiquette shit. "I'm sorry for how I behaved towards you." She flicks him in the forehead. He straightens out of his bow with a yelp and a half-hearted glare. "What was that for? If you're really sorry..." Zoro says, setting the drink down and taking slow, purposeful steps to where she's got her swords resting against the cabin. Sanji raises his stupid, curly eyebrow. "What? You'll spar with me," she finishes. Wado comes from her sheath slowly. "Hey, I won't. I'm not," he stammers, raising his hands in a universal sign for peace. "Oh?" Zoro laughs, taunting him. "Were your words just that, then? Words? You still won't hit me because I'm a lady?" She stalks towards him, swinging Wado in lazy arcs as she goes. "Come on, shitty cook. Don't you want to find out which one of us is really stronger?" With a clean slice, she severs Sanji's tie neatly in two halves. His visible eye narrows, and he growls, unthinking. "You damn Marimo!" The same eye goes comically wide as he realizes what he said. Zoro bristles. "What the fuck did you just call me? Huh?" This time when she swings, Sanji takes a graceful half-step back, sliding his hands into his pockets. "You curly-brow, pervert-peeping, shitty half-rate chef!" This time when she swings her blade, the sole of a shoe rises to stop it in its arc. "Holy shit," Zoro thinks, breathless with anticipation. "He's strong." "I'll show you half-rate," he growls, fire in his eyes. On Zoro's next swing, she whoops with laughter, feeling the energy of an impending fight, a true challenge, sing in her veins. Sanji parries with another kick. Zoro's gone feral, Usopp shouts from the crow's nest. Zoro glances up and can see him waving his arms around in alarm. A kick swings out for Zoro's head and she just barely raises her sword in time to catch the end of the cook's heel. There's power in every kick. She's seen him fell enemies before, seen him nearly outswim fishmen, seen his competence in a fight. But she could never have guessed that all this power lived behind his kicks. Zoro ties her bandana around her head. Shh, Sanji scoffs, snuffing out his cigarette under his heel. Of course you just wanted to fight, musclehead, Sanji grumbles. Simultaneously, delighted that he's insulting her, finally, and irritated that he's insulted her, Zoro taunts him back. Oh, at least I have muscles, you shitty twig. Sanji blushes and growls, lunging for her in unbridled fury. I am not a twig. Then there's no time for talking. They fight their way all across the Meri, to Usopp's abject horror. Zoro sends Sanji flying into the guardrail and cracks it with a sickening thud. His back, Zoro! Chopper cries in horror as Sanji's spine connects with the wood, splintering it on impact. Sanji sends her crashing backwards into the mast. Involuntarily, she bites her tongue on impact and her mouth fills with blood. She spits it in his face and lunges back into the fray. Gross, Nami comments, while Robin sips tea and hums at the exchange thoughtfully. Sanji kicks her in the ribs and she feels something crack, or bruise at the very least. She slices a clean line across his thigh before he can backflip out of range. The fight is a brutal, bloody culmination of everything that had built up between them. All of Zoro's resentment and fury and all of Sanji's posturing and frustration. Each time their bodies collide, something gives between them. It's powerful. Sanji manages to disarm her of one of her swords. It's bloody. He gets too close and she headbutts him hard. He staggers back, cursing. It's cathartic. His knee connects with her side and she loses balance, tumbling to the deck. It's incredible. It's Luffy who decides the outcome. Just as Zoro is gearing up to charge and just as Sanji leaps with his leg raised, Luffy slingshots into them both, sending all three of them overboard and into the sea. The water is freezing compared to the warm boil of Zoro's blood. Divested of two of her swords, it's no work at all to shift one to her mouth and gather Luffy in her arms as she kicks to the surface. Usopp throws over a rope just as Sanji comes spluttering out of the water, looking like a drowned rat. You look like a drowned rat, Zoro says around the hilt clasped between her teeth. I hate that I understood that, Sanji hisses at her. Luffy says, incoherent, head lolling on Zoro's shoulder. Oddly enough, kicking the shit out of each other was what they seemed to have needed all along. Sanji no longer ignores her, and Zoro no longer wants to throw him into the ocean every time he blinks in her direction. Zoro naps in the sun, and Sanji wakes her up for lunch with a kick. Sanji leaves the kitchen for a moment, and Zoro steals as much cooking rum as she can carry. Zoro says something stupid, and Sanji hits her upside the head. Sanji gets a nosebleed watching her train, and she throws her 150-pound weight at his stupid target brow face. Things are surprisingly fine. Luffy pisses off the wrong guy in a bar. It's kind of a fucking mess. Zoro, don't take them on, no matter what, Luffy orders, jaw set in a grim line. Zoro nods her assent. This is not a fight that's won with fists. Her captain knows this. Yes, captain, she replies. What the fuck? Sanchi breathes as soon as he sees them. He erupts into motion, skittering to a halt halfway across the beach when he sees the expression on Nami's face. She's been crying nearly the whole way back to the ship, and her eyes are red and puffy. When he sees her, Sanji's hands shake. "Nami-san," he says, but she pushes past him without a word. Baffled, Sanji's eyes settle on Luffy and Zoro. Zoro knows they look pretty fucked up. There's an awful lot of blood that keeps dripping into her right eye, and she keeps having to blink it out. Luffy's no better off. In fact, he looks like he's got it the worst. His body is decorated with bruises and blood and scrapes and cuts. But what seems to get to Sanji the most? Zoro is missing her shirt. Bellamy's men hadn't crossed that line. Luffy would have ended it without hesitation if one of them had. And that's if Zoro didn't get there first. They just taunted them, hurling all sorts of lines about what they'd like to do to the captain's bitch. One of Bellamy's men had grabbed her by the collar of her shirt and ripped it straight off her body. There's the impression of a hand smeared in purple bruises and burst blood vessels on the side of her neck. The man had squeezed her there when he whispered what he wanted to do to her. Luffy had sought Zoro's eyes. Zoro said nothing. They continued to stand their ground. Eventually, the man fucked off, laughing. Sanji knows none of this. Sanji's fists are shaking at his sides. With a wordless snarl, he lunges at Luffy, grabbing him by the shirt and shaking him hard. "What happened, huh?" he howls in his face. There's something desperate in his eyes. Zoro's always known there was a vicious protective streak in him, fueling his casual sexism and the layers upon layers of learned self-sacrificial bullshit. She never imagined it would leave him looking so torn open when she saw it laid bare. "Luffy!" he shouts. "What happened? Why was Nami-san crying? Why is..." Sanji's eyes flicker to Zoro for a fraction of a second before the cook thinks better of it. "Cook?" Zoro starts. "Zoro, it's okay," Luffy says. "Go check on Nami." Irritated at the dismissal more than anything, Zoro stalks off. They'll work it out. Probably. Nami is crying in the girls' bunk. Robin points Zoro in the right direction, looking vaguely alarmed. Chopper nearly has a fit when he sees Zoro, but with a helpless look to Usopp, he decides to intervene and distract Chopper on Zoro's behalf for the time being. "Nami?" Zoro says, shuffling awkwardly in the middle of the women's bunk. She hasn't slept here in a long time. Robin now uses the bed that used to be Vivi's, and was Zoro's before that. Zoro sleeps in the hammock, or bed sometimes, of whoever is on watch that night. This space doesn't really feel like hers anymore. She shuffles awkwardly on her feet, a bumbling intruder into this place. Nami is pacing back and forth, swiping angrily at the tears accumulating on her cheeks. "You're a fucking moron," she snaps at her. Finally, her orange hair is a halo to her fury. Zoro shrugs. "Are you okay?" she asks after a moment. "No, I am not fucking okay," Nami shouts. "Why did you... How could you..." "If we'd fought, we would have lost," Zoro explained simply, because it's truly just that simple to her. Nami seems even angrier at that. "There are more important things than winning," Nami screams back. Zoro says nothing, because she has nothing to say. She watches Nami pace and cry and shout wordless exclamations of frustration until finally she burns herself out. Nami throws herself backwards onto her bed and covers her eyes with an arm. "I don't understand how I got stuck on a ship with nothing but idiots," Nami laments. "I thought I was a moron," Zoro replies. Nami chuckles, but it's a hollow sound. Mercifully, there are footsteps on the stairs. Robin appears, holding a shopping bag like a peace offering. Swordsman-san, the woman prompts, extending the bag to Zoro. Our doctor would like to see you. I picked up some clothes for you on my trip earlier. Zoro takes the bag. Thanks, she says. Zoro doesn't trust her. Not yet. Robin's eyes are kind, though, so she leaves her with Nami. Zoro visits Chopper for some antiseptic and some harsh words. Then she takes a long, long shower and changes into the clothes that Robin had picked for her. Blessedly, Robin seems to have shopped with Zoro in mind. There's a plain dark blue tank top in the bag, a plain black sports bra, and black track pants. There's underwear, too, but Zoro doesn't like to wear underwear if she can avoid it, so she leaves that in the bag. As she exits the bathroom, she nearly bumps into Sanji. Fucking watch it, she hisses at him. Wait, were you peeping on me? She growls. Why else would the fucking arrow cook be lurking by the bathroom? No, fucking moss head, Sanji growls. His eyes are grim and he hasn't jumped to the bait like he usually would. Zoro stands in the doorway, waiting for him to get on with whatever he was going to say. For the longest time, Sanji just stares at her. Admittedly, she's had a long fucking day. If anyone were to ask, this is what she would say to explain the fact that she lets him stare. Honestly, it seems like Sanji's had a long fucking day too. His visible blue eye makes a steady crawl up her body. Usually when men stare at her like this, it's because they're sizing her up for a fight. She's too tall and too muscular and too flat-chested for men to leer at her in public. Her hair is too short and her face is too angry and her body is too scarred. So generally, men don't look at her. But Sanji is. But he's not checking her out. No, what Sanji's doing is different. It's not lecherous or sexual or violating. He's just looking. His gaze climbs up from her bare feet to the pants on her legs and to her waist. His eyes linger there on her hips with steady focus. Wordlessly, he reaches out for her and she doesn't fight it. She lets him take her steady around either wrist and extend her arms for him to see. There are a few scrapes and cuts from where a broken bottle had fractured against her shoulder. Copper bandaged the wound itself and removed all the glass, but her uncovered arms are a constellation of scrapes and tiny dotted wounds. Sanji turns each arm over gently, tracing up from her hands to each of her shoulders with his eyes. If Zoro thinks it's strange, she can't say anything now. There's an odd spell that's come over the room. Something heavy hangs in the space between them. He gently lets her arms go and resumes his catalog of her body. He averts his eyes with visible effort at her chest and lets them focus instead at her neck. Here he visibly tenses, shoulders going ramrod straight and stiff. At first, it doesn't occur to her what he's looking at so intently, but as he brushes his fingers feather light across the base of her throat and the tip of her collarbone, she realizes the bruise. Her skin is dark enough that it isn't the worst thing. The purple doesn't stand out on her like it does on Luffy or like it would on someone with Nami's complexion. Sanji easily finds the shape of it anyways, his fingers ghosting slowly across each line. His jaw is tight. Zoro does not think about how his hands are warm. She doesn't linger on how soft his fingers are, nor on the way he smells standing so close to her. Her body feels electric, supercharged where he touches her, and painfully alive everywhere else. There is heat low in her belly when he brushes his knuckles against her neck. She doesn't think about his hands and how he cares for them so tenderly. Goosebumps erupt down her arms. His eyes meet hers and the spell is broken. this closely, she can see the blue of the other eye peek out from behind the curtain of his hair. Zorro does not have the words for the intensity of his expression. "You're okay?" Sanji asks. His voice is dark, a low rumble that she's never heard before. The heat pooling at her core is molten and slow, like lava. Not trusting her tongue, she nods. Sanji seems to be looking for something in her eyes. Zoro can't help but hold her breath as she holds his gaze. His stare is endless. Finally, he steps back. Truthfully, Zoro hadn't realized how close he'd come to her. "Okay," he says, digging in the pocket of his hoodie for his pack of cigarettes. Zoro rarely sees him dressed so casually. When she comes into the men's cabin at night, she comes in late and in the dark so that none of the boys fuss or give her trouble. To be honest, she hardly ever registered his casual clothes as disparate from his immaculate suits until this very moment. The hoodie is light blue and has an ocean wave embroidered on the front. At her sides, Zoro's hands twitch. Without another word, Sanji steals away, leaving Zoro rooted to the spot. That night, after the fuss with the South Bird and the old man's gold, the crew stumbles back to the half-destroyed ship and the makeshift campsite, dreary and exhausted. Zoro flops down face first onto the grass. She's content to just lie there until the sun comes up, when a cold sea wind sweeps over her bare arms. "Fuck," she groans, staggering back to her feet. "Zoro?" Luffy asks, rubbing at his eye in his sleep. "I'm just gonna get a jacket from the Mary," she says, waving him off. "Tell that beautiful ship that I love her," Usopp moans deliriously into the grass, "because I am never moving again." They chased that fucking bird all up and down the forest for hours. Each and every one of them is wrecked. The ship is a mess of wreckage and chaos, but Zoro picks her way through Mary's bones anyways, and finds herself in the men's cabin. Although she had intended to find the girls' cabin, it's close enough. Usually someone keeps a few blankets lying around. Something on the floor catches her eye, and Zoro freezes. Sanji's blue hoodie has fallen out of his locker and is laying on the floor. Gingerly, Zoro lifts the thing to her face, cautious as if it's going to bite her. When it makes no indication that it is sentient, she pulls it on. It's soft. Really fucking soft. And well worn. But it's a little tight in the shoulders and arms. That's to be expected, though. She's bigger than the cook. But it's fine. It's not like she's gonna do any fighting in it. If Sanji notices that she's stolen it as she drops back down in the grass outside to finally get some fucking sleep, he keeps the knowledge to himself. There are clouds that you can walk on and people with wings that live in the sky. There's also an angry lightning-controlling freak that thinks he's a god. There's some complicated history between the people of this place that Zoro doesn't really follow and doesn't really care to follow either. And there's a giant snake, too. But at the end of it all, there's a party. The bonfire in the center of the ruins is massive. There's music from those weird dials and from a live band of Skypean people, too. There's drinking and laughing and dancing and food. Oh God, so much food! And Zoro is just grateful that everyone's alive. She's watching the party at a distance, nursing a mug of something alcoholic and sweet and warm, but she's perfectly sober and content with it, too. Sometimes there's no better feeling than knowing the people you care for and have fought to protect are alive and well. Sanji interrupts these musings, flopping down beside her with an oof. Wordlessly, she extends her drink. Thanks, Marimo, he says, taking a small sip and passing it back. She hums, letting the fucking nickname from hell slide for now. She's reminded, suddenly, of a drunken night in the palace of Alabasta. They stood side by side in a quiet bathroom, and they sit side by side in a quiet outcropping of ruins now. Hey, did you mean it, what you said in Alabasta? Tumbles from her lips without conscious effort. She blinks harshly at her own hands, as if they're responsible for the words that escaped into the night. Hmm? Sanji asks, turning to her slightly. What did I say? Zoro hides her pink cheeks in her mug. Nothing. Sanji elbows her in the side. Come on, spit it out. Zoro mumbles the words into her cup. What? I didn't get that. I said. Zoro, there's this thing called enunciation. I said, did you really mean it when you said I was pretty? She says it far too loudly. Her face burns scarlet red and she turns away from him, staring pointedly back towards the party. Impossibly, infuriatingly, Sanji starts to laugh. Zoro slugs him hard on the leg and he yelps, but it doesn't stop him from continuing to dissolve into giggles. You laugh like a girl, Zoro tells him, shoving at him ineffectually where he's slumping into her side. Eventually, he settles down. Enough time passes that Zoro could almost forget what she'd asked by the time he responds. Of course I meant it, Sanji says softly. He's looking out at the party with a faint smile on his face. The light from the distant bonfire reflects in his eyes. He's awfully close to her. Huh? Zoro says, for lack of anything else to say. Sanji turns to her, his face startlingly open. You thought I didn't mean it? Zoro shrugs. Well, I do. She blinks at him. Did, he hastened to correct. Uh-huh, she says. Of course you're beautiful, she says, suddenly, like the words are erupting from his mouth. She laughs at him. You've got shitty taste, cook. Well, apparently not that shitty, since you took my blue hoodie, he teases, looking smarmy and awful in the low light. Shut up, she stammers. It was soft and there and I was cold. Are you cold now? Sanji asks, and, oh God, when did he get so close? They're pressed together, side by side, and his body is one warm line against hers. His face is so close and his voice is so low and so warm. Kind of. Zoro breathes out. She can feel the words take shape between them. When Sanji smiles at her, it is not a smile she's ever seen on him before. It's a private thing, open and easy and just between the two of them. Sanji has dimples, she realizes after a moment. Warmth gathers low in her guts and Zoro shifts, suddenly uncomfortable. Come here. Sanji says, and he's tugging her over and, wow, between his legs, her back to his chest, his arms around her waist, his impossibly strong legs are on either side of her body, and his chin brushes her head when he talks. Is this okay? He asks, tentative and honest in the sudden silence between them. His fingers trace idle circles on her arm. Yeah, Zoro says, because it is. If only she could get her body to calm down about it. She feels like she swallowed a bunch of bugs and they're all caught somewhere in her chest, trying to get out. Each stroke of his warm, soft fingertips against the bare skin of her arm sets them buzzing in a frantic pitch. Sanji tucks his chin on top of Zoro's head, which is funny because she's just as tall as him. They're the tallest people on the Going Merry, And it's only because she's slumped down in his lap that he can reach the top of her head at all, and... oh. His heart is beating really, really fast. Oh. Each exhale of his brushes by her face, smelling of smoke and the drink they shared. Oh. You like me, Zaro says, sudden but quiet. Sanji goes tense like he's about to bolt. Don't. I mean, it's fine, she gets out, making it very clear that she's not going to be moving anytime soon by relaxing further into his hold. She can feel him swallow. He's pressed so close. Okay, Sanji says after a moment. His hands are too still. Fucking idiot, she thinks. I shouldn't have said anything. You can keep... She puts her hands over his and tries to mimic the little circles he'd been drawing against her. Embarrassed and grateful that it's dark so that he can't see her blushing like fucking crazy. She pulls away. Oh. Sanji starts, and then he's doing it again. And Zaro feels like she could melt and drift away right there. After a moment or two, he presses the side of his face against hers. He breathes out. Thank you. And the feeling of the words coupled with the warmth of his face against hers is too much. She shivers. Sanji gasps just a little. She just barely catches the sound. His hands freeze. His heartbeat is so loud. You don't have to stop, Zoro says. And it comes out like a whisper. It's barely there. Her eyes stare out at the party unseeing. Shadows from the bonfire dance across their legs as his hands begin to move. He exhales against her skin, and it's shaky and gasping, impossible to hide or control it. She shivers again, feeling that odd heat in her gut burn brighter. She shifts her legs just a little and, oh, a sound skips out of her lungs. She's wet. In an instant, Sanji is pressing his face into her hair. His hands move from her arms, and a protest dies in her throat as he whispers into her scalp, "Tell me to stop." And then his warm, impossibly warm, graceful hands slip under her shirt. She gasps, legs jerking against the ground, and Sanji drops a groan unlike anything she's ever heard into her hair. His hands are shaking on her skin, and it's like nothing she's ever felt. No one has ever touched her like this, and it's... One of his hands grips her side while the other slides up and up and up until his fingertips brush the edge of her bra, and her skin is on fire. His legs clench once around her, squeezing, and her lungs don't have enough air. Sanji, she gasps, and he freezes. Zoro swallows. She realizes that she's panting. They both are, and they've barely moved. Sanji is frozen against her. When the thought comes, it comes slowly, like molasses. She's in control. She unsticks her tongue from the top of her mouth. Go ahead, she whispers, her voice barely there. His hands move, and Zoro's own hands come down to grip at his thighs on either side of her as his hand slides under her bra and slides over her breast. Belatedly, it occurs to her that he's holding the one that's scarred, that was nearly bisected that day on the floating restaurant. But Sanji doesn't seem to care if the sound he makes is any indication. Fuck, he breathes, sounding reverent. His face is still buried in her hair. The hand he has squeezing at her hips spasms, and his breath jumps in his chest like some wild, unrestrained thing. Sanji, she says, just for the rush of saying it. She doesn't know if she's ever used his name before. Sanji, she repeats. Zoro relishes in the way it makes his thigh muscles jump under her hands. He presses his face in the juncture between her shoulder and her neck. Fuck, Zoro, you don't know what you're doing to me. Sanji breathes. He gets her nipple in between his fingers and pinches, and Zoro can't help but squirm, gasping at the sensation between her chest and the slick slide of her thighs against each other as she moves. She needs to touch herself. The lava at the core of her is hot like a fucking fever. Sanji rolls her breast in his palm, and her train of thought completely derails, her mind dissolving into dust. Suddenly, Sanji's hips jump against her, like he just can't help it. The thought makes her head swim. She feels it then. He's hard against her, the hot curve of his dick pressing incessantly against her back. Zoro pushes back against him, grinding up against it, and Sanji drops his mouth to her shoulder and groans into her skin. Fuck Sanji, she hisses. She can't fucking wait anymore. She has to fucking touch herself or she might die. But as soon as Sanji catches on, he's stopping her with the hand that he had around her hip. Let me, please, fuck, let me, he whispers, hot and urgent against her neck. And who is she to deny him this? Yeah, okay, she replies, and she lifts her hands up behind her and around his neck. His hand slips under the waistband of her pants and he makes a sound not unlike the one he makes when he takes a punch. Fucking hell, Zoro, you're going commando? He's delirious with it, his hand petting at the bare skin of her navel. Zoro gasps out a laugh. I don't like underwear, she says, and it sounds perfectly reasonable to her. But then a single finger dips low, ghosting over her slit, the most feather-light touch that's ever existed, and she nearly screams. Oh my god, Sanji whispers, tracing up and down the lips of her sex. Fuck, you're so... Come on, Sanji, she growls then. She grinds her body hard against his erection. With an answering sound of his own, he hooks his finger and dips in and... Oh! Zoro breaks off into a sigh, her voice hiccuping as she squirms to try and get more of him inside of her. It's perfect and not enough at the same time, and she's going to combust if he doesn't do something. She's so relaxed and wet already that she craves something bigger almost immediately. He pushes in up to the knuckle with almost no resistance, stroking against her insides like fucking velvet, and it's incredible and not enough at the same time. She throws her head back on his shoulder and his other hand clenches around her breast, hard. Oh my god, he pants against her, his hips making these tiny little involuntary circles. He's hard as diamonds and Zoro wants to scream for all the sensation in her body at once. You're so wet, he tells her, like she doesn't know already, like she can't already feel it running down her thighs. God, fucking more, Sanji, come on. She eggs him on, bearing down against the single finger inside of her. I want to taste you, Sanji says, and all of Zoro's higher brain function promptly wipes out. Can I taste you? Please, Zoro, please. And, oh, she never thought she cared one way or another about begging, but the sound of it from Sanji? It's heady and hotter than anything she's ever felt before. Yeah, yes, yes, she groans. With a bitten off, fuck, Sanji grabs her by the hips and rearranges them, laying her out flat behind a chunk of stone rubble that will hide them from view of the party. He lays across the front of her, hands on either side of her face, his groin pressed tight against the core of her, and they blink, frozen, staring at each other's faces. Sanji, she says, at the same time he says, Zoro. And then, like that, they're kissing. They're both obviously inexperienced and far too horny to care. Saliva smears down both of their faces as they pant hot and heavy into each other's mouths. Like he just can't fucking stop himself, Sanji grinds down against her with every thrust of his tongue between her lips. She could kiss him forever, but she'd much rather have the storm of arousal in her body addressed, so she eventually breaks away by biting his lip. With a little punched-out moan and a particularly hard buck of his hips, Sanji pulls away. "Come on," Zoro urges, tugging at his hair. "It's stupidly long." He goes with it, leaning into the sting on his scalp like it's everything he's ever fucking wanted. His eyes go half-lidded and hazy as she regathers it between her fingers and truly yanks. Sanji outright moans, and then he starts to slide his way down her body, taking her pants with him as he goes. Soon, Sanji is seated between her naked thighs, her pants discarded, and he's staring at her with open adoration. It's the most naked Zoro has ever been in front of another person before. The knowledge of it burns bright in her core. She shimmies out of her bra from underneath her shirt and tosses it away. She leaves her tank top on. It seems like Sanji likes it, and the cold air leaves her nipples peaked and hard through the fabric. Sanji's only lost his shirt and is only wearing an impressive amount of bandages and his pants, which are ridiculously tented. "Touch me," Zoro says, and he dives in over her like a man starved. At the first touch of his tongue to her clit, Zoro's thighs clench hard around his head, and she shouts, biting down on her fist only after the fact. Sanji's hands grip the underside of her thighs and dig into the muscle there hard enough to bruise, his tongue laving hot and wet at the entire length of her cunt. "Go up, up," she pants, wanting him back on that fucking spot, and he hastens to obey. His lips touch her swollen clit, and she nearly fucking screams. "Harder, fuck, Sanji, harder," she moans, feeling unhinged and wild at the sensation. One of his hands leaves her thigh, and then there are two fingers pushing hot and insistent up into her, curling inside, and he begins to suck on her clit in earnest. Sanji's face is positively buried between her thighs, and all she can see is a single eye, closed in concentration, and his stupid blonde hair. Zoro reaches down and brushes all the hair out of his face. His eyes, both of them, so, so fucking blue, snap up to meet hers in surprise. His stupidly asymmetrical eyebrows are the perfect icing to the dessert that is the ruddy blush on his cheeks. Sanji must see something he likes in her face because he moans against her, and the vibrations send Zoro flying into orgasm. Every part of her clenches as she comes. It pulses through her whole body in spasms, radiating out in time with her heartbeat, and Sanji lets her ride his face through it all. "I'm sorry, I..." He pulls away from her just as the spasms start to slow, and gathers her ankles in one hand. The other he braces against the ground. With his face scrunched up in a painful kind of ecstasy, Sanji grinds forward into the meat of the underside of Zoro's thigh, his hips jumping once, twice, before he pitches forward into release, gasping hot and loud into the night. He drops her legs after a moment and slumps down on top of her body. Zoro wraps her legs around his waist to keep him there. The crotch of his pants is wet against her abdomen, where her tank top is ridden up. Her whole body is singing like she's just fought an incredible battle and won. Sanji is panting against her chest, breathing in big, desperate gasps. Zoro blinks down at him, and the lower half of his face is absolutely glistening with her wetness. It hits her like a punch to the gut, as Sanji licks his fucking lips and then hides his sticky face between her breasts, his chest heaving against her. "Oh my God," he muffles into her chest. "I'm so sorry," he says. And Zoro is there, gathering his head up and out of her cleavage with desperate, sweaty hands. "Why the fuck are you sorry?" she gasps, unable to stop the giggling laughter that bubbles out of her chest. She feels absurd, petting a hand down his sex-flushed face, frantic with the urge to soothe whatever's happening behind his eyes right now. Frankly, Zoro is still seeing stars from that orgasm. It is completely like the cook, and completely unacceptable for him to be unhappy and ruin this afterglow. Sanji blushes, something furious. I didn't even get my pants off, he whispers, like it's fucking shameful, like he's embarrassed, like even the admission of it pains him. God, Sanji, you were perfect, Zoro says, because what else is there to say to that? Fucking incredible, and you're goddamn apologizing to me? She arranges his face until he has nowhere to look but right at her. I cannot fucking feel my legs, I came so hard, she tells him with deadly sincerity. Finally, something in him cracks, and the cook smiles, sheepish but pleased. God, his face is still so wet with her, and the sight of it sends Zoro's heart skittering into mad palpitations. She smiles right back, helpless to stop it. Come here, she mumbles eventually, tugging him up against her just enough that he's no longer boob level, but so that his head can fit against her neck. I'm cold again, Zoro grumbles once she's gotten him where she wants him. Okay, he whispers, painfully intimate against the side of her neck. Together, they're warm. Zoro has never really cared about how she looks. She likes her earrings, and she likes being strong, and she likes it that men mostly leave her alone, with one notable exception. She doesn't grow her hair out, and she doesn't give a damn about her clothes. Sanji be damned. She spends 90% of her day training and the rest of it fighting and sleeping in turn. Her body is covered with mottled scar tissue and bright red love bites. Those she likes the sight of. She's a woman of sensation and feeling. The crack of bone beneath her swing, the sound that Wato makes as she slices through the air, the arterial spray of an enemy hot against her hands as she cuts them down, the feeling of Sanji's breath rushing across her skin in his sleep, the warmth of his hands and the delicacy of their motion, the brush of his lips when he kisses her because he's angry and wants to fight with their mouths instead of with their fists. She cherishes these like other women cherish rich perfumes or silken shirts. Although, Sanji does get her a couple of silk shirts, and she's got to admit, they're kinda great. Hey, Zoro! Luffy calls, catching up to her as she wanders aimlessly through a town's market. Yeah? She watches as her captain and Usopp come barreling up into her space, their eyes bright and mischievous. When you marry Sanji, Luffy starts, and all of Zoro's words die on her tongue. Which one of us is your best man? It takes her a while to recover from the shock long enough to answer, but eventually she does. For the record, Luffy was very disappointed that Usopp would be the one to take the title of Zoro's best man. But then Zoro clarified that Luffy would be the one to actually marry her and Sanji, whenever that day may arise, whether it be 2 or 20 years down the road. This is a responsibility fit only for the captain, after all. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and want to leave feedback, either for myself or the author, you are more than welcome to. You can find the podfic at whatever post you found the podfic at in the first place, and that's probably where you can leave feedback for me. In that post, you will find a link to the text post, and that's where you can leave feedback for the author. Thanks for listening.